All right, y'all. Well, I've had quite a morning, so I'm going to take a deep breath and I'm going to start us off in prayer so that I can be a little recentered. Dear God, I just ask that you be with me today as I speak. Just help me to say the words that I need to say. Just settle all of our hearts and our minds. Be with anybody that's struggling right now. In Jesus' name, amen. So when Mike asked me to speak at some point, he said that I, since the theme is reclaiming, that I could talk about anything that I wanted to related to reclaiming. So I had a lot of ideas and I went back and forth, but I really felt like God wanted me to talk about something that I'm actively struggling with. So I think sometimes those are our best lessons. It's not the stuff that, you know, if we speak about it, that we figured out, but it's the stuff that we are struggling with too. And so I wanted us to look at a scripture that I hesitated to use because we've all read it a million times, but I just ask that you'll kind of bear with me and try to look at this with fresh eyes. I wanted to look at Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And I think most of you are going to know the story. It's about the time when Jesus was in the home of Martha and Mary. And it starts off saying, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, said the Lord, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So when I read that, I thought about, what is the one thing? What do I think is the one thing that Mary chose right then that maybe I need to be reclaiming and maybe you need to be reclaiming? And for me, I feel like that one thing is now. I feel like Mary was reclaiming the now. And what I mean by that in reclaiming the now is that if you want to be in the now, you have to think about being who you are, doing what you are, where you are, when you are, and how you are. So that's a lot. And I'm going to break all that down so we can look at how you can do that. But one of the first things to think about is being who you are. So when I was a kid, I was really good. I had an active imagination. So I pretended to be a lot of people. One of my favorites was Wonder Woman. And for those of you that are my age, we had underoos. And I had Wonder Woman underoos. And I would make, I would use like these hair tie things on my wrist because they would deflect bullets. And I made like a little construction paper crown. And I would go through life with my lasso of truth. And I would spin around and become Wonder Woman. And when you're kids, it's kind of cute. You're trying to figure out who you are and what you want to be, what life will look like if you can become that person that you want to be. But for me as an adult, I've spent a lot of time thinking about being somebody that I'm not. I often think if I could be maybe somebody that's more powerful or somebody that's prettier or somebody that's more talented, maybe somebody that's a little more domestic and can actually cook, those types of things, I think, well, if I could do all that, that's when I would feel joy, I'd feel peace, that's when I could really serve God and make a difference in the world. And I think we see that in this story with Mary and Martha. So I used to read this story and think that it was just a story about being busy, that God was saying, Mary's doing the good thing because she's sitting and being still, and Martha's bad because she's busy. And of course, I always identified with Martha because I'm a busy person. But I think the story is deeper than that when we think about who we are. I think that Martha probably, like me, at least in that moment, wasn't very happy with who she was. And I understand this because, see, for Martha, she was working really hard to do something really special. And I've spent a lot of my working life, I just had a 15-year work anniversary at work. So I've been at the same place for 15 years. And I would say that for most of my professional career, I worked really hard to be the best that I could be. And in my mind, that meant that I had to be responsive and available. I needed to solve problems. And those aren't necessarily bad things. But in my mind, to do all that, I needed to be available all the time. So I got to this point after a few years of working where everybody would come to me, and I was like, why does everybody come to me with all their problems? I can't fix everything. But as one of my therapists said, I had trained everybody well. She said that everybody was just doing what I had trained them to do. I trained them to think, come to me and I'll fix your problems. Come to me and I'll take care of things. And I had this coworker that worked with me, and she's also my friend, but we worked in the same area and stuff, and so I would watch her, and people would come to her, and they'd say, I need your help with this. And she would say, I'm sorry, that's not my area. I can't help you. Or she might be like, I don't have time to help you with that right now. I have these other priorities. And it would make me so angry because I would think, she's not a team player. Who is she thinking she is? Why am I doing all the work and she's just over here living a great life saying no? And I feel like that's what happened with Martha when she looked at Mary, because Martha was like, hey, Jesus, look at me. I'm doing all this stuff. Mary's just sitting there. In fact, Martha even says, Lord, don't you care that she's left me to do everything by myself? Tell her to help me. But see, in this story, Martha was making it all about Mary and what Mary was doing. But the real focus needed to be what was going on with Martha and in Martha's heart. Just like in my story of my coworker, it really doesn't matter if my coworker's a hard worker or a team player. That's pretty irrelevant because the issue was going on inside of me. And what I started to learn was that my coworker was probably one of the best teachers I've had in my life. Because when I stepped back and I was like, why is this making me so angry? I realized it was because I was jealous. I wanted to say no. I wanted to set boundaries. I wanted to be comfortable enough in who I was that I could say, I can't help you with that right now because I need to do these other things. But who I was so tied up in doing what I thought everybody else wanted me to do, or doing maybe even what they did want me to do. It was too tied up in what everybody else thought. And I think that was the difference in the who they are for Mary and Martha. Martha felt like to do something of importance, that she needed to gain her worth, to be who she was. It had to be about what she did. She couldn't just be who she was in that moment. But Mary was content to sit at the feet of Jesus and just be who she was. So if we're going to reclaim the now, one of the things we have to do is we have to reclaim who we are. And that doesn't mean that we don't strive to get better. It doesn't mean that you don't work hard. It doesn't mean that you don't always aspire to do more. But it's about accepting, this is who I am right now. And who I am right now is enough. Who I am isn't defined by like my grades or my accomplishments or what I'm doing or how great I can cook or how clean my house is or how great for a pastor or how big my church is or for somebody at school, how great my grades are. Those aren't who we are. And so we need to recognize that who we are in this moment is we're children of God. We're God's workmanship. We're a temple. We're a new creation. We're created in God's image. So to reclaim the now, after you start to think about reclaiming who I am, you have to reclaim who you are doing what you are. And so what I mean by that is we need to find a way to become more present in doing what we are right now. So one thing that also happens is I would think in my career and stuff, when I was first starting out as an attorney, I'd be like, well, I'm doing things that matter, but what will really matter is about 15 years from now when I have this position. That's when I'll make a difference. Or sometimes I think, what I'm doing here today in my house doing the 15th load of laundry doesn't really matter, but what's really going to matter is when I'm on my mission trip in Brazil or Africa. That's when I'm really going to make a difference. Because, see, we think oftentimes that to serve, to feel fulfilled, to have a life of purpose, that the things that matter are those big life moments. And that's kind of what we see with Mary and Martha, because Martha's saying she's distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. because she's going to put on this celebration. She wants to be this great hostess. She wants to do big, important things for Jesus because Jesus is so important to her. But what she's not recognizing is the power of those small moments, those ordinary moments. So there's this guy, Brother Lawrence, and I had a friend that went to seminary way long ago, and she told me to read his book. And not many people have heard about him, but he wrote this book, and it's called The Practice of the Presence of God. So I think you think most of the time when somebody writes a book and it gets published and a lot of people read it and they give it to you in seminary, you know, this guy probably, you're thinking, did stuff like Mother Teresa and like, you know, was on the streets and saved a bunch of orphans. Or you may think he's like Billy Graham and he led a ton of people to Christ in his like evangelism. But Brother Lawrence spent most of his time washing dishes, cooking in a kitchen, doing very, very ordinary things that not only didn't get him noticed, but, you know, that most of us wouldn't think would be a life of accomplishment or a life of meaning. But Brother Lawrence, some things that he thought when he wrote some letters and things in the 17th century, he said that it's a shame that people pursue certain activities, and he often noted that we do most of the activities that we do imperfectly because we're human and we have shortcomings, and we mistake the means for an end. He said that our sanctification does not depend as much on changing our activities as it does on doing them for God rather than for ourselves. Because you see, most of us think that the problem is if we're not feeling fulfilled or things aren't going the way we need them to, we think it's because we're doing the wrong things. It must be that I'm not working hard enough, or I'm working on the wrong things, or I've made the wrong decisions, or I'm putting my effort into something, and if I just put my effort into something else, I'm going to feel that fulfillment and that meaning. But if we're going to reclaim the now, we have to recognize that ordinary moments are sacred. And I think that's what Brother Lawrence recognized, and that's what Jesus was trying to convey to Martha. Because when Martha's like, hey, I'm doing all this stuff, I'm really busy and I'm distracted, and he says, you know, you're worried and upset about many things. You're trying to do a lot. But your sister, you know, she has chosen what is better, and I'm not going to take that from her. We have to remember that who we are is in the image of God, and that what we're doing right now can be sacred, no matter how ordinary it is. So in reclaiming the now, got to be who we are doing what we are. Then we've got to be where we are. So this is another one, I think, that can be really hard. Because to think, sometimes if we think about who we want to be as a Christian, who we want to be as a parent, who we want to be as a spouse, all of those things, we think that, well, first of all, right now it's easy to think when you're tired and exhausted, I would be happy if I could be sitting on a beach because that would be a lot better than being here in the cold where we didn't have power this morning and, you know, dealing with all the snow and ice we've been dealing with. So we think if I could just be with my feet in the sand, if I were somewhere else, then I could feel more at peace. I could relax. Or we think if I could go serve on the mission field in some other country, then that's going to matter because where I am is going to make the difference for me. But one thing that I've started to learn is if I can't be happy where I am right now, I'm not going to be happy anywhere else. If I can't feel peace in this moment where I am, it's not going to matter if I'm on a beach, if I'm on the mission field, if I'm serving at the Hope Center. And of course, that doesn't mean that we don't want to serve and we don't want to do other things. But we have to recognize that where we are can be holy ground if we're in the presence of God. Where we are can matter in that moment if we invite God into it. And that's also in the Mary and the Martha. Martha was so distracted, she probably didn't fully recognize where she was. But Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, talking to him and taking in that moment. She was there where she was. So once you're who you are, doing what you are, and you're where you are, then you've got to think about the when you are. So this one's hard for me because I divide everything now into BC, and I don't know what I would call the other one, but it's before COVID. And then it's like this distant future when surely by then everything will be a little more normal. I don't know how many times I've said that. Like I'll look at my calendar, somebody will be like, hey, Beth, next year, would you want to do this? And I think about it and I'm like, well, right now with everything with COVID and the pandemic, it's really stressful, but surely in a year, it's all going to be good, right? Or you try to plan a vacation or something, surely in a few months, you know, these variants will be gone and I can travel again and I can do normal things. So I have that before COVID time, you know, back when we didn't have to wear masks and we didn't have to worry about showing your vaccine passport card. You know, if you traveled, you only showed a real passport. So there's that. And then there's this distant future time when things are going to be better, you know, because things are going to get more back to normal. And so for me, I struggle a lot with the when we are. Because like, for example, this morning, we had some boys stay over with Jacob, which was fine. But I went up to try to print this. I couldn't get the printer to work. I heard them talking about our shower stopped up because I think Maria's clogged it with all of her hair. So somebody was having to take, saying, I'm having to wash in the sink. it's like they're on the mission field. That's what I'm preparing them for, you know, like having to wash in the sink with cold water because there's no showers or anything. So I'm like sitting here and I'm like, this doesn't feel like a very good win right now, a win, a moment in time, because I'm supposed to be at church in a few minutes. I can't get anything to print. And then when I walked out to my driveway, because now we have, I guess, four or five cars, it's like driveway Tetris. So you have to plan in advance, kind of like, well, I need you to park here and you to park here. And I may be able to back around this car here if all the stars are aligned. But of course, my car was parked here and Maria's car was parked here and three cars were parked behind my car. So I was already late, and to get somebody to move all those cars would take way too much time. So, you know, when you're in those moments, it's easy to think, oh, I remember the days when nobody in my family could drive but me. So I only had to worry about my car and Mike's car. Or like you get to the past, the good old days, you know, when things were better. Or the other thing I do when I look back to the past is I think about all the mistakes I made, things I could have done better. Or it's easy to go to the future. You know, well, in a few days, I'll be doing this and everything will be okay because I'll be on vacation. Or in a few weeks, everything will be better because I'll get a raise. Or in a few months, everything will be better because I'll retire. Or in a few months, everything will be better because I'll graduate. So we're always in the future, kind of grasping. And C.S. Lewis, for those of you who love him like I do, he wrote the Screwtape Letters. And he had something interesting to say about the now. He said, and this would have been like the demon speaking about what they want. We want a whole race perpetually in pursuit of the rainbow's end. So we want people who are constantly chasing that rainbow, like looking to the future. That way they're never honest, nor kind, nor happy now, but always using as mere fuel wherewith to heap the altar of the future every real gift which is offered to them in the present. And so what C.S. Lewis is saying is, what the enemy would want of us is to be so future-focused, whether that be on how everything's going to be better in eternity, or even just future-focused in everything will be better in a few days. Because if we're so focused on how great it's all going to be in the future, we're not only missing the blessings of right now, but we're not accountable for the now. We're not accountable for what we're doing right now. And the reason the now matters so much is because the past is set in stone. The past is frozen. We can't go back in time. At least nobody's invented a time machine yet that I'm aware of, except in science fiction. So we can't go back in time and change things that happened. And the future hasn't happened yet. And nothing about the future is guaranteed. The only moment we can control is this moment right now. And if we look back to Mary and Martha, Martha was running around and distracted. I think she was probably really focused in what was going to happen in a few hours, you know, whatever this big event she would put on or what she would do. But Mary was focused on the now. She was focused on what was happening in that very moment. So in reclaiming the now, who we are, doing what we are, where we are, when we are, how we are. So I left the hardest one for the last, and that's the how we are. And I think the how we are is probably what drives us to wish that we were somebody else, that we were doing something else, that we're somewhere else, or that we're in some other time. Because most of us don't want to feel what we're feeling right now. And I say that because right now is like a really, really, really hard time, I think, for all of us, coming off this pandemic, being exhausted. So, you know, when somebody says, how are you? Fine, okay, a little tired, that's what we may say. But if you really want to know how I am, I feel like weary deep at my core, like, and not a physical weariness, no amount of sleep makes it any better. I just feel completely spent, completely poured out. I feel very tired. I feel pretty angry if I let myself think about it. I feel angry about things my kids have missed out on. I feel angry about opportunities missed. I feel angry about just a lot of things, about the way the world's going. I also feel a lot of grief. I'm grieving, you know, friends that have died. I'm grieving people that are sick. I'm grieving people that are angry. I'm grieving friendships that drifted apart because of a pandemic that kept us apart. I'm grieving trips I didn't get to have, experiences I didn't get to have. I'm grieving all that. So I feel sometimes this sadness. So I feel tired. I feel burned out. I feel sad. I feel unmotivated. I feel like sometimes life doesn't have a lot of purpose. So that's a lot of feelings. That's a lot of how I feel that most of the time most of us don't go around and talk about. And that doesn't mean that I'm stuck there all the time. I have these moments of joy when my dog runs out to see me and his whole tail wags so hard that like his whole backside is wagging with him, you know, or have the moments of joy when the kids have something exciting happen and life feels good. I have those moments when I have so much hope because I see what's happening at the Hope Center. So it's not to say that how I feel is like stuck in time. It's complex how I feel. But the problem is my tendency when I get all those awful feelings is I think, I shouldn't feel this. I shouldn't feel this because I'm so blessed or I have so much or at least everybody's healthy or at least this. And I'm trying to convince myself that there's no reason I should feel the way that I feel. And I think I shouldn't feel certain things because I label certain emotions as bad and certain emotions as good. So it's bad to feel angry. It's bad to feel sad and grief. It's bad to feel anxious. And so I won't let myself accept how I feel, so I start doing other things. You know, some people turn to like substances to alter how they're feeling. A lot of us may binge watch Netflix. A lot of people pour themselves into their work and into their busyness, which could be one of the things that was happening with Martha. She was so busy and distracted by all the preparations, you know? So she's so busy doing, and she's focusing all her energy on someone else. Like, let's project and look at what Mary's doing instead of looking at how I'm feeling. Let's talk about what she's doing right now instead of looking at what I'm doing. And the reason it's so important to acknowledge how we feel is like one thing I've learned is if we push everything down, it just simmers and waits there for us to like address it. And the Bible's full of people that cry out to God in despair, people that get angry, people that get sad. It's also full of joy. But emotions are part of who we are as people created in God's image. And so it doesn't mean that we want to wallow in sadness or anything like that, but I think it's important for us to acknowledge it. Because if we name it, if we say, I'm feeling this right now, and especially if we share it with a body of believers, because God gave us each other, well, then some other people will tell you, hey, I feel that way too. I feel pretty tired, or I feel sad, or it's okay to feel that way. But you know what? You may feel awful right now, but this won't last forever. things will, you will have other feelings. Other things will happen in your life. It helps us to normalize it. But if we want to be in the now, we have to come to accept and examine how we are right now. Otherwise, we may spend a lot of our time trying to be somebody else, trying to do something else, trying to be somewhere else, living in the past or living in the future. So as you think about going forward and what all this means as it comes together to live in the now, I think the thing that is really important is Jesus ends up saying about Mary, you know, few things are needed, indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better and it won't be taken from her. The hope in all of this is we're not going to get it right. We're all going to have our times when we're Martha, and we're all going to have our times at times in our life when we're Mary. But the promise that we have is in those moments when we claim the now, when we are okay and we try to be who we are and we try to be present doing what we are and we're okay where we are and we're okay in the now and the when we are and how we are, then Christ promises us that that's not going to be taken away from us. And so I hope that you can find encouragement in that. And, you know, the one thing about all of this, too, is that it's hard to, like, I think, accept the now and to reclaim the now, because then that means we're responsible in the now. We're responsible to make those changes. Every one of us has a choice right now, no matter what. When we leave here today, we have a choice. We can go right back into distraction mode. We can dream about being somebody else. We can dream about doing something else. We can focus on the future or the past. And we can push down our emotions. And when people say, how are you? Or we even try to check in with ourselves and say, I don't know, how am I? We can just try to ignore it and work or do something else to distract ourselves from it. Or we can actively try to take responsibility for the now, to be where we are and to recognize, you know, we're never going to have perfection here on earth. You know, we know that. But God has given us these moments, and it's up to us to determine what we're going to do with our now. So I'm going to just pray and dismiss us. So, dear God, I just want to thank you for this moment. Thank you for the minute, the moment of now that you have given us. And thank you for this story, God, that like just shows how easy it is to become so focused on everything else that we forget that ordinary things, ordinary times, this moment can be holy and sacred, God. Help us in this time and in this world that is just filled with distractions and also sometimes, God, filled with pain and sadness, where it's hard to be in the now, God. Help us to be okay enough with who we are and where we are and what we're doing in this moment, that we can acknowledge how we're doing. And God, I ask that you help us support each other, help us love each other, help us when if somebody's willing to admit that they're struggling with this, God, give us the words to love and support one another, to be the body of Christ that we're meant to be. And just bless us with the assurance that for these times when we do choose the one thing that matters, that joy and that peace won't be taken from us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, everybody. I don't think there were any other announcements. So otherwise, I guess we'll see you next week. Thank you.